Blog Talk Radio.
Special day, and it's special, y'all. It's Tuesday, and normally we on Wednesday. I mean on Monday, because tomorrow we having a show again, so we can have our two shows of the week. But Monday we did not want to have a show, based on the fact of the subject matter of this show tonight. Our guest, who is an ex-veteran who served, who is very, very patriotic. And want to get the word out to all of America that is what is going on today should be looked upon as no more than negligence against the military service people, both male and female. Of course, being Memorial Day, we honor them as those who are fallen, and we look upon why are they falling and what have they fallen for. We'll be also analyzed tonight Is it for democracy or is it for the corporations who have made wars only to enrich the rich? That'll be explored tonight. But like I said before, we are happy to be here tonight, and we will jump into the show, but you know we can't jump into this because this one here is so heavy. And it's so, it touches so many people because everybody has a person that was in the service that you know. And it comes to everybody's mind that the VA hospital has been caught negligently handling these veterans almost to the point of malpractice. All of you have heard horror stories. The ones you're going to hear tonight need to wake your behind up to know if they would do this to the service, to the military, those who are being proclaimed as your freedom fighters, what do you think they have in store for you? So I'm going to start this with a very powerful, because we need justice now, y'all. And because we have so many, I've been watching a lot of people talk, and I've been to a few events this week. We had Brother Omar Bay was down here in the South Florida area from Louisiana, representing the Wichitas, and we had a good conversations and a couple people we met. It was good to collaborate on things that have been told and what have come to fruition, and we're going to get into that as well, because sometimes we got to analyze everything that is being told us. Otherwise, we will fall for anything. And the reason why I say it, because no matter what we say, it always going to come back to a principle that is held by the agent. And that is the principle of Maya. That is the balance scales. Scales that are balanced. For me, balance means justice. And I'm going to read them again. I'm going to keep reading them because I'll be honest while we still are able to be honest. And that is the seven principles of Maya: truth, justice, harmony, balance, reciprocity, order, and righteousness. I don't know how anybody can tell me that's not a moral principle. I don't see how anybody can tell me that that principle should not be used in the new formulation of a new mindset of people. Can't see that, how that can be said. All these confederations you might have are none older than that, no matter which one you name. And it's not to be funny. We ain't trying to make fun of anybody's base belief system, but you need to analyze it, because what we're going to talk about tonight is a frightening happening that's happening all over the place. Many of you know that people are taking pharmaceutical drugs for depression, for different things. Now, this is something that's going to be discussed. How in the hell did psychiatric. That word psychiatric. The first word should scare the hell out of you. Psychiatric. Mind control. Not through studying of any scientific, but just through their own observation and opinions. Are they making serious diagnosis on people's mind? And what they give is not a remedy, but a prescription. And that prescription has been used for quite some time. And I'm not going to get into it because my guest is going to get into it. And I want you to know something. Dwight D. Eisenhower, and y'all remember we used to have Gil Scott here, he'd say military industrial complex. We kind of take things for granted. We are in a military-industrial complex. Already done, already surrounding us. We had something down here called Miami Beach Urban Weekend. Go online and look at it. You would have to be a fool to start anything up there, because the police was almost more than the people. The police was all over the place in huge amounts. They got overtime galore based on the fact this is called urban. Beach Week, so you know what that means. And of course, we did have ours who started some, you know, some foolishness that makes it even worse. But this is what's going on. We also, before I bring my guest in, which I thought I'd bring her in on the 9:15, where I will bring her in. So prepare yourself, sister. We don't have Obama, or right now, who's in Afghanistan yesterday during Memorial Day. Does anybody know what they are guarding in Afghanistan? They are guarding some of the most premium opium plants on the planet. Some of the best opium plants on the planet. And so when you have your servicemen guarding opium, you have to say to yourself, there's no wonder why the drug industry is being so promoted. Because the most highly sophisticated military in the world is guarding plants. Based off the auspices of so-called war on drugs that was brought in by Nixon and Reagan, kept it going. See, all this is these presidents are setting the stage up. During this time, they were spending military astronomical amounts going to war. Many of you veterans who I grew up around in the Vietnam era, and you older now, you are in the VA taking all kinds of drugs. And you're becoming sicker and sicker. We have heard all about the sex scandals. Well, this sister coming on today, she gave me the documents. I have documents upon documents. And if you want them, you email me, because I'm not going to start giving out information any longer to people who really don't care about getting. You want them, go to drybonesconnection.com or go to drybones7@hotmail.com and request them, and I will email them to you, because these are serious. We have documents dating back to World War I. We have documents dating back to Korea. We have documents dating back to, let's just take it right here, I'm going to bring my guest in. This document is 2004. Under the Honorable Donald H. Rumsfeld, Secretary of Defense. Now, these people here have been already notified that there was sexual harassment, assault in the military. They had understanding many sexual misconducts in Kuwait, Afghanistan, Iraq, have commissioned Department of Defense Task Force to care for victims of sexual assault. This is not done by the Afghanistan people. This is done by their own military people. We have sexual harassment dating back as far as you can go. I have the papers in my hand. So if you want these, you request them. And it's signed. These are not just paperwork. That I got Carol Mosley. Carol Von Mosley. Remember her? Kilpatrick. I'm naming all who signed on here who was aware of it. Let me read the people. Y'all want this? These are the senators. Tom Lantos. All these big time Republicans and different ones. Their handwriting is terrible. I want you to know that. I'm reading a lot of handwriting, but all of them on here. This had to be signed by all the Congress or the Senate. Excuse me, the Senate. Stating that this was going on and the investigation was going to carry on. Well, as you know, the investigation has not carried on. It is still going on. And we need to figure out what is going on with our military. These brothers and sisters are going into combat. Those of you who have, you have my special condolences, because I know it's not easy. I ain't going to tell anybody I've seen wartime, but I ain't going to lie. But I can only imagine through what we've seen that it is not something that we all want to be in. The trauma on the brain to see people blowing up is not healthy. The trauma on anybody who see a person close to you blown up or a person shot by your own friendly fire, like the brother for the card for the St. Louis Cardinals, when he got shot by his own platoon, even though it was an accident. These are happening on a daily basis. And so I want to leave you this number before we bring our guest, and I'm looking for a number now. 2869. I just want everybody to know, over 8,000, If y'all watched the video that was on your email, over 8,000 suicides a year, not together, this year, have been attributed to what they call post-trauma syndrome. And matter of fact, y'all know the same movie that had Tyler Perry made when he had the brother come back from war, Desert Storm, wherever that movie was based on where he came from. Remember he tossed the baby out? That's because that's happening all over the place, y'all. So Tyler was on top of it. He did bring it to the attention. We kind of thought it was a Tyler Perry movie, but nonetheless, he did come out with something to show that this was becoming an epidemic. So I'm going to look for my guest. She's out here. So many. Could you hit the button, sister, so I know you're out there so I can bring you in? I don't know if she's on. The number I have here is 2869. I'm trying to get her in. But until then, I will carry on for a little bit before I bring some callers in who discuss it until we get her in here. I told her to come in. She should be coming in shortly. So we will be taking questions tonight on all this. And I want you to know something, everybody. The Pentagon, if you remember, if you do the symbolism like we've been telling everybody to do, the symbolism on the Pentagon is a pentagram. And it's facing down. It's bringing out energy beyond you can believe. If you want to see the energy that these symbolism do, go to drybonestatue.com and look up the free ritual of 9/11. Look up the ritual of 9/11, and you understand this clearly about what's taking place here. They're bringing down energy galore that you would not believe. Because we have not been taught this, and many of us do want to hear it from one of us, one of their own brothers and sisters. We seem to be uncredible for some strange reason. We can bring you all these facts. We have brothers call, give you about the plane was over there at San Garcia. Find out that base was serious. Moved everybody out off the island. Took everybody off. They still fighting for their land rights. So we know that this thing is serious about land rights. We're not ignorant to it. Hopefully tomorrow we'll have some more enticing. I'm gonna give a shout out today while I can before I see her number. We got Yosef L. My brother Yosef L. from California should be on tomorrow giving his insight on the public and private, which is also one topic that everybody has on their mind. Now I'm going to find my caller here because I'm thinking she's in. Dorothy, if you out there, can you please hit your button so I can bring you in? I see the number that you have for me is not showing up. So I will ask you to please hit your button and so I can bring you in because they are waiting to hear what you have been telling me for quite some time. And I met her through just conversations through the internet and paperwork given to me by somebody. And she was on a talk show, and I had the pleasure to hear, and she laid it down. She gave the rituals that they do. She gave down the days they do things. She gave down some of the mind control powers that they have. She is one who has experienced it firsthand. She is one who has traveled across. I'm going to let her tell it because I'm trying to. She's one who's traveled across and this country and across the ocean. So hold on, let me see if this is her right here. 9307, you out there? 9307, I guess you're not, that's not you. Let me see if I got another person on the line. 5959.
I'm here, brother.
Okay, stay on there with me. I'm trying to wait for her to come. I want to make sure everything's legit tonight because once you know how you've been on here before, you know exactly how this thing goes. And let me see if this one's here working. 8848.
Hi, Brother Dry Bones. Yes, it's me. I'm here.
All right. All right, sister. You stay there And I'm going to bring another one in here just to make sure. Now, Dorothy, I told you, I guess I did tell you, 9:20, but you should be coming in soon. From what y'all know, and y'all know everybody out here until we bring her in here, somebody in the military. And have y'all noticed that since this story is out, many people have been going to the VA. And I think Sean, I got Brother Sean on here too. Let me bring him in because I know he's a military. I might be her there. I know she's military. He's military. Brother Sean, you out there?
Yeah, I'm with you, Brother Drybone.
Okay. I know you're familiar with military service. You can tell the people in your brief time what have you seen as far as the military and this what is seen to be giving pharmaceuticals to those who really may not need them, just on the term that the fact they say that, hey, I'm depressed.
Well, as you know, I'm an Air Force veteran, of a 10-year veteran of Air Force service, and I've actually been hospitalized here recently in the past couple of weeks, having some illness. And it's, you know, certainly from my own personal experiences and with my appointments at the VA, it's very disheartening for those veterans who may find themselves hospitalized, who may find themselves hospitalized. So they've rightfully earned medical benefits through service to their country, you as well, and other brothers and sisters that we know who are veterans, but the quality of care certainly is below standard.
What number?
And I think that's what a lot of is being published and put forth out in the media now today about the substandard care that's being delivered to our service veterans in the VA hospital right now.
Well, you know, I don't know if many of you, I just spoke with Dorothy, she's trying to get in now. I don't know if many of you have watched the video that we have called An Enemy Within. This is what tonight's show is based on. It's a covert agenda that they have. I wish all of you to watch this because this would be made clear. And I'm just going to read a little bit of what is going on, what we're talking about here. There is a website for everybody to go on to look this up so you know that we are telling you the truth. It says that the Department of Defense announced a startling statistic that the number of military suicides in 2012 has far exceeded the total of those killed in battle. Do you hear me now? Suicide. The average of nearly one a day. That's one a day, y'all. A month later came out an even more sobering statistic by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Veteran suicides was running at 22 a day. That's why I say it's about 8,000 a year. This is what's going on. And it's getting bigger. And every one of you have seen one of those people who have been shooting these inside these military bases and so forth. They are some who are on these antidepressants. And so there is a lot of things going on with this and so forth. So I'm letting you know, here she is, I'm letting you know, and y'all prepare. This sister is full of information. I want y'all to know that this is done by, not accident, this is done on purpose. Now, Dorothy, are you with us?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Good. I'm wonderful, Dorothy. I appreciate you coming on the show tonight. I know that you are very passionate about this situation. For those who do not know, who have not understood what I may have told them about your military service, could you please explain to the people what your rank was and where this all began?
Well, when I left the military, I was a captain in the Air Force, and I'd actually been a commander for 6.5 years. So as a commander, I had legal authority to hold people accountable for misdemeanors and felonies. But I'll tell you, and I was in from, and I include my ROTC time frame because that's actually where it started, was in college. So 1981 to 1992, let's also put this within perspective. This was during the Reagan and Bush administration into the Clinton administration. Now, the issue really comes down to that when I was in service, I witnessed a great deal of criminal abuse, and it was criminal abuse against officers enlisted. They were selected individuals who were brutalized. And I was a person who, when I became a section commander, I would witness a great deal of brutality towards enlisted, where even Article 15s were pretty much given to them despite the fact there was no evidence. I had a law enforcement degree in college, so studying evidence, studying the laws as they apply to evidence in criminality, the chain of command, and all those various things. I actually found that, sadly, I had to do a great deal of investigating myself, and I would stand up to ensure that enlisted who were given Article 15 for driving as if they were drunk when, in fact, it was medication they were on, or individuals who had gone to war, it was questionable whether or not they had actually had alcohol in their presence, so they were given an Article 15, and yet when this all came to my desk showing that there was never any due process, I refused to participate in simply setting up individuals. One of the things
right.
that I also witnessed was a great deal of sexual abuse towards women, children. The entire command knew about that. Now please know, for veterans who are out there, get a piece of paper and pencil. It is not my intention to trigger you, but the fact is that there was supposed to be a very strong morality that was going on. Let's forget about the terms honor, ethics, all those terms that all of our services knew. There was supposed to be some moral ethics going on, and yet what I found was that those words of honor, integrity, ethics only applied to some, and they typically only applied to how they were going to morally protect each other and back each other up. Again, over the years, I had opportunities where with the MOP gear, okay, the chem warfare gear. This is prior to Gulf War I. It was a very precise way you had to put on that entire uniform to ensure your protection. And part of my job as a commander and a section commander was to do biological training of wearing of that MOP gear, taking it off. And we exercised quite a bit of that in Europe, in Germany. Well, there was a decision that came down to take out a step, and I challenged that because without a specific step that was included, anyone who were to have worn that uniform with the step they took out would have gotten contaminated without a doubt. Moving forward, now please know, while I was Air Force, I had a special duty assignment, and that assignment was to ensure, I was actually at Grumman Corporation on Long Island, and while there, I read contracts, and I witnessed and read in the contract that the Dash 60 aboard naval ships had a fatal flaw in the equipment. I didn't know anybody from the Navy, but nobody from Grumman had sent out an emergency message to those ships to ensure that men and women on board those ships were not being electrocuted. In addition, one of the primary jets of its day, Grumman was intentionally and yes, I'm using that word, they were intentionally putting in a defective chip into the F-14 weapons box, which virtually turned that airplane into a plane that only would shoot. Now, I went and I questioned the engineer. He said, yes, that's in fact what was going on. I would then go to the program manager, and I asked him if this was true. He confirmed it to me, and I said, do you have a child? And his statement to me directly was, as I quote, yes, but I make more than enough money. My son will never go into the military. Again, I did not know any F-14 pilots, and I said, wrong answer. I would send a report up my chain of command on what was going on, and within 3 or 4 months, I was notified that I was actually being considered for being fired from the United States Air Force for that. Now, think about what I'm telling you. This is also during the time where the Tailhook scandal came out. And what that was is really the breaking down of human beings systematically to be brutalized. Nobody goes into those systems believing that they are going to be drugged, tortured, and brutalized. Nobody had a right to do that to any of us. And yet, when I went to the VA, when I went through the VA after leaving the military in 1992, because of upper leadership corruption, and I'm saying I worked directly for the IG at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and I witnessed corruption from one end to the other towards African-American women and men, as well as towards spouses, their children, and other officers and enlisted. And these were good and decent people. Before I left that base, I was threatened that if I ever talk about what I went through, and I could barely remember being in Germany for 6 years. I had been married. My husband would come overseas. I barely had memories of being at some of the most amazing places in the world. And this is not during the war. This is prior to Gulf War I. Gulf War I, I would be at Wright-Patterson. But during that time, when I left the military, I had virtually no memories of what I had endured. There's something really wrong when any American, any service person, can be on any base, and it is not during a time of war, and you have virtually no memories. And please know, I was an athlete. I was a leader in my high school and college, and I was very married. But the answer of no didn't apply. Now, please know, before I left Germany, I would actually write, Cole, and take it to the JAG reporting rapes and abuse. These are not minor issues because it destroys a human being. Catastrophically, it destroys human beings. It shatters them. There were druggings. There were torture that was happening.
Now, let me ask you this, Dorothy, because you're going, so I can get the people a little more information in the back of all this. You gave me some information. It was called Resolution 2014-08, and
right.
I want y'all
to
hear this, everybody. This says human trafficking, and it goes into explaining that the UN was 2000 UN protocol to prevent, suppress, and punish trafficking in persons, especially women and children, the definition. And this is going on also through the military. This is one of the reasons why they started doing this research, and they were saying some of the most outstanding, unbelievable information. That I was like, my goodness, if people knew that this is what was going on. So please explain that, how this was even being going on. It was like a protocol.
Well, if we go back and we do the history on this, and let me kind of
give you
a little bit of the Pentagon put together 57 questions through Charles P. McDowell. Charles P. McDowell was an OSI agent in the 50s. He would put together 57 questions that were implemented in the 1970s that would throw out rapes, druggings, trauma-based, severe trauma, sexual slavery victims reports. It didn't matter what you said. It virtually would throw out anybody and those reports. Also in 1972 was a big year, because this is the year that the movie, and I'm going to rephrase it, it was the crime scene caught on film called Deep Throat. Linda Gorman, known as Linda Lovelace, she was a Catholic and a child of a police officer out of New York, was beaten, was drugged, and was put under hypnosis in that crime scene. During that time frame, that movie, that crime scene, would actually go to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court refused to rule on it as pornography. It then was sent to every state in this country to determine whether or not it actually fit under the pornography laws. Now, there's a documentary called Inside Deep Throat. In this movie, Senator Keating would stand up and say that this was not only pornography, but it made over $500 million. This would become the baseline of what is now going on across this country and around the world, which is the kidnapping, drugging, and abuse of human beings, all different kinds. And a lot of these people are good and decent people that, if they were to be allowed to grow up without being severely shattered and traumatized, they would be the new leaders that would stop the corruption and abuse. Now, coming backwards in history, this was being used in the military. And the unfortunate thing is that it has been given 7 laws of immunity protecting it, because in the early 1980s, there was an Army case of a young woman, and I'm going to restrain from using her name because I believe she's still recovering from the severe trauma she went through. She had been at Fort Ord, California. She was married. Her marriage was failing. She was in. Her husband was not. And so she went AWOL. She came back to base. She was appropriately put into the barracks, the discipline barracks, and two MPs gang raped her. A sergeant would come to her aid and then testify in the prosecution of the two sergeants who gang raped her. The Army would write a decision that said that rape is a duty hazard. They failed to tell and are failing to tell civilians who are considering the military that rape, gang rape, drugging, and all this stuff is a duty hazard. Now, please know, when you go to your basic, either as an officer or an enlisted, what are we all told? That we can trust our NCOs, that we could trust our officers. Now, please know, I know that everybody has different experiences. But when you're raised in a community that says you are to respond and respect authority, you're to respond and respect those, here are the rules of applying, and yet those rules don't apply to anybody, especially to those who are leading the ranks, from what I witnessed and what I endured, generals were involved in this abuse, lieutenant colonels on down, as well as a great number of senior NCOs were brutalizing victims. They would call the victims targets. When they broke them, man or woman, child, spouse, or foreigner, they would call them the bitch. If they shattered you severely, you were known as the bitch of the base. They also called you a cum receptacle. Please know, none of us deserve this. And yet, when you began to wake up, because much like the flu, when you have the flu, your body gets rid of the toxins. And I'm not trying to dismiss anyone who is physically beaten or psychologically brutalized. The issue is we had an understanding that we were supposed to have each other's back. We weren't supposed to brutalize each other. We were never told that. And yet what I've been witnessing and experiencing is not only the savagery of this, in which it was all a lie, but there were people who died. There's no doubt in my mind they have films and evidence of stuff because, as I said, before I left the military, I was told they would find a way to put me in prison if I remembered any of this. And when I went to the VA, and again, to any of those who are veterans listening or have loved ones who served honorably and ethically, truly ethically and morally, thank you for being a moral human being and who stood up for somebody else. But what I witnessed from 1992 when I began putting in my claim, and I left because of out-and-out corruption, I have witnessed and reported ongoingly the abuse of veterans as well as myself. This included even a Vietnam veteran who brought me some information on the abuse of women in the military. He would talk to me. He had Agent Orange, and having had Agent Orange because of the Vietnam War, he provided me, as I said, with documentation. We were talking, and he told me that he'd gone to the Dayton VA and that he was making his opinion known, and the local police, the VA police, punched him in the stomach. And within 2 weeks of being punched in the stomach, he was dead. And I went to his funeral. Now, everybody knows of the scandals going on across this country in the VA. I actually called the VAIG in D.C. this past week, and a gentleman picked up the phone. He said his name, his alias was Jess. He wouldn't give me an employee number, and he pretty much said to me that even if he had been beaten to death, it was too late and no one's going to do a thing about it, and he hung up on me. I would call back two other times to a guy by the name of Jim, who, as I began telling him of the ongoing abuse that I witnessed and reported from Cleveland VA, the Vet Center in Cleveland, the Brecksville VA, Waterloo Road, Akron VA, Dayton, Ohio Hospital VA, as well as Phoenix, Arizona, and the Vet Center there, the regional offices, as well as the service officers. In 22 years of being screamed at, brutalized, I was hung up on repeatedly. I actually provided the documentation, the McDowell checklist, to Secretary of the VA Principe in 2004. I have a picture of me with him and several other people around me, and said, why aren't we providing our veterans with their benefits, given here is the documentation that shows this is happening? My abuse would go up exponentially after that. In 2008, I met Secretary of the VA face-to-face, Peek, in Arizona, and gave him that checklist again and said, will you help us get out the benefits for these men and women who have suffered inhumanely for their benefits? And again, my abuse went up exponentially.
Now, hold on. Let me ask you this. When you say your abuse, let me just bring this to clarity, everybody. We're talking about the physical and sexual abuse that they would do to you based off what, hypnosis? Because I remember you were telling me that a lot of this is done, and I read the report, and I do have it here, people. It's so many. The Bivens Doctrine, the ultra-military immunity. Even before we
go
there.
You want me to go over the law?
Yeah, but I want you to explain to the public, this psychiatry that we're talking about that covertly came into the military, it used the military as its vehicle, because psychiatry, according to this video, the hidden enemy, how this guy started back in Germany when they wanted to have fighters, people fight. They started experimenting on the soldiers, which would be considered almost torture today. And during that, even the Japanese with the kamikaze, I found that out in this video, y'all, that the kamikazes were also being drugged to ram the planes into these ships in what we call in Hawaii. So they were also using this drug technique to be used on the military. When psychiatry got into this, and you can go from here, it seemed to take over the mind control mechanism that they needed, because the budget of the military is astronomical. And I seen in the video, it was a perfect vehicle for them to maneuver in on. And we're talking about from World War One and Two, like you said earlier. When did this, in your time frame, with the going on, the drugging, the sex, where did that fall in when you say they come to do you? Were they using drugs, or were they using sexual or hypnosis when you say they will always come to get you?
Well, let's kind of put it this way. It is extraordinary the number of these adults who had sexual, physical, or psychological abuse as children. Many of them, and not all, but a great proportion of them were Catholics. And if you go to the movie Deliver Us from Evil and watch all three parts, and any type of documentary you watch, you should always watch the director's cuts, all the different parts, because you get extra information you don't get in the major documentary. So the documentary Deliver Us from Evil, in 2004, Pope Benedict would get immunity that prior to when he was cardinal under Pope John Paul II, who was recently sainted, Cardinal Ratzinger, who had become Pope Benedict, he got immunity from President Bush II, Jr., for overseeing and not doing anything for the rapes and ongoing abuse, breakdown of children in America for 38 previous years. Now, the popes and the cardinals before that were doing the same thing, and the Catholic Church would be the benchmark, if you will. That was pretty much the means by what they followed, because this actually comes out of the Hitler-Himmler-Eichmann study. That came over under Operation Paperclip, and it was a study that Hitler commissioned of three generations of the same families of severe abuse, psychological, physical, sexual, and technological. And that can be in a lot of different ways, from electrocutions to, you know, watching various shows that would virtually be a programming kind of show. The point being is that these children, if they're abused under the age of five severely enough, they can be easily led, highly suggestible. They have photographic memories, but they also have difficulty articulating. Their reasoning and logic is not good. They can also be used for sex slaves, for entertainers, sexual entertainers, snipers, suicide bombers, political figures, virtually not even being in their own body. They shatter these human beings. Dr. Colin Ross from Dallas, Houston, and you can go on YouTube video and listen to him. He's a psychiatrist. He's also featured in The Hidden Enemy. He speaks about the shattering of these human beings, that this was actually done intentionally by the CIA, because then these individuals were now not even their original personality, but then using what they call neuro-linguistic programming. And this is a sophisticated word, which means they can use triggers, implanted triggers, keys, codes, hand signals, or tones to get a person to act, react, shut down, or behave in a certain way. in conjunction with drugs, they would traumatize you, and they could get you to do virtually anything. For me, they were using neuro-linguistic programming, and from my university, which is the, and this is happening in all of our universities and colleges across this country. So don't think that when you send your children to colleges, they're safe. There's a major, they're now talking about the epidemic of rapes on college campuses, but 30 years ago, they were having these same issues as well as professors and students on the college campuses that are well trained in these systems to traumatize adult children, even if the parents don't know your children have been traumatized, because predators really know how to hide it. The brain masks the abuse, and that's part of the technology behind this whole thing. It's a programming. So you have finders, connectors, programmers, groomers, conditioners, and re-traumatizers, and they sent me from, as a civilian, to multiple bases, Vandenberg Air Force Base, Davis-Monthan, McGuire, and then to Wright-Patterson at each one of these. These were sexual grooming bases. There were incidents that happened that were very traumatizing. And what happens is immediately after each trauma, from having an SP captain, and I was a cadet in college, exposed his penis to me in a photo. Now, that may not sound big to a lot of you, but they know how to do this, so it's gradual and exponential. Here he's a captain, here he's a cop, where am I supposed to go? They would also have a woman forced to dance topless in the officers' club. She clearly was brutalized. She had a arm length from elbow to shoulder blade bruise. Her eyes were huge, so she wasn't even in her body. And there was no place to go and no place to turn. And what they do is they then, if you will, think about a victim much like your glasses. If you were to dunk glasses into a mud puddle every time a trauma happens, the criminals layering the traumas one right after the other behind the primary trauma. And the brain cocoons itself from the trauma as a means of survival. The predators are well aware of this. So I couldn't even remember these incidences within a very short period of time, because then I was surrounded by three cops, security police officers, captains, who ordered me that I was only allowed to date officers. Well, I wasn't even in the military yet, and yet that didn't even matter. When I would end up getting into the military, and as part of my, let me step backwards, as part of my entrance exam, I was actually, I went through the psychology part of it, doing the little dot tests and all that other stuff, seeing numbers within the dots. But then my next, as a female, I had to go to an OBGYN. Well, this was a full colonel and an Army colonel at that, and this was at Wright-Patterson Medical Center, and he violently raped me on the table with his fingers. Now, please know that when he did that to me, because of the combination of a colonel, an Army colonel, and the brutality, and I'd been through this exam prior, so I knew what an appropriate exam was, I totally left my body. And I had no memories of that immediately following. Now, I cannot tell you one way or the other of whether or not when he was doing what was supposed to be an appropriate exam, he might have had drugs on his gloves when he did that. That may have been the issue. I just know 1982, I did not remember that abuse until 1997, 5 years after I left the military, and I could not even determine where it was at. The point being is that when I would go to Germany, I was a newlywed, I was only interested in being with my husband, I began being systematically broken down repeatedly by the commander, lieutenant commander, and his ops officers, as well as 60 of 70 Air Force officers and air crew at the 480th TAC Fighter Squadron, the 52nd TAC Fighter Wing. The wing commander was well aware of it. The vice commander was well aware of it. I called my mother immediately and said, get me out of here. I would call my husband, who was also an officer who was at Altus Air Force Base. I can only say in hindsight, I believe he was going through the same kind of systematic breakdown. I was being isolated and put and had to stay in different officers' houses where the first officer was totally shattered. She thought I was after the guy who was using her, air crew who was using her. And so she became very hostile. I actually had wives that were going after me psychologically. It was a total breakdown. And ultimately, again, this was 24 hours a day. There was no relief from it.
I just want to get this across to everybody so you know how serious she's saying. This report that she's talking about, I'm just going to go by five of them. It's sexual harassment in the military. This is a report that was given to the Washington Senate in 1988, the military harassment strategy. To eradicate sexual harassment in the military civilian army, that's in 91. A hearing for gender discrimination in the military by the Joint Chiefs, that was 92. Women in the military, the Tail Hook Affair, the problem with sexual harassment, Armed Services Committee, 1992. Then they went back to the Tail Hook Report, the official inquiry of events at Tail Hook, 91. Navy-wide survey, Navy Personal Research Development Center, Service Academy, action needed to eliminate sexual harassment. This is 94. Victim Abuse Study Report, 94. This thing is a litany, everybody, of continuous. So what she's saying may sound a little bizarre, but if you see these reports, and I looked them up thoroughly, it has been unreal. So go ahead, Dorothy, keep going.
Well,
I want to back up what you're saying. Let's go back.
In 2004, the Army actually had slides, and within its context, which I have, it says that there was human trafficking going on. And yet these victims are being silenced. When I left Germany, having been brutalized throughout, and I was passed around, sadly, even some of the wives were involved in this brutalization. There was ritual torture and abuse. There was drugging. They had a very specific way in which they did this. I remember the people who were there. I don't want to call men because I don't want to dishonor real men. But these were officers enlisted that were participating, that they had no problems doing it. Some of the wives were involved in this. There were actually these people actually had their children that were learning these tactics. Because if you shatter people that are morally decent, then aren't you going to stop the corruption and the abuse? And ladies and gentlemen, today in America, and this is information from the book Rabbit Hole, 2004, I know the statistics are a little bit dated, every day in America, 2,185 people go missing. These are human sexual slavery victims. They're simply going missing. And there is no raising the flag on this. When I left, as I said, when I left the military, because I was tired of the brutality, I was tired of children, 2-year-old, 4-year-old, being allowed to be raped. And when I was reporting it to the IG, I was told that the mother, who was being brutalized by an Air Force officer, that all women are flakes and nuts. But it didn't matter even if it was a guy. If it was a guy, an African-American, or those who were being brutalized, they were being shut down, their careers were being destroyed, and it didn't matter. And when I went and I reported this, what I was seeing at the VA, the first doctor, Dr. Pasha, who was from Spain, and again, there's a redundancy that happens. They begin threatening you. They send you to people locations. I was sent to people that had the same last name as my abusers in the military. I was sent to people who were from the countries that I'd been drugged and raped in. I had been, and now this was not just with the VA. This was even in jobs, from state and federal jobs that I would have over a period of 22 years. I was told by Dr. Pasha, who is at Dayton VA, that if I ever tell what happened, number one, he wasn't going to document what I went through, but if I ever report what I went through, I would never work. 1998, I would be told by an Ohio employee of the unemployment office who was a veteran. He was a good guy. He pulled me aside and he said, "You are being blacklisted from ever working. Where no one's going to help you get a job." In 1998, same year, now this is after going to all the service organizations, those people who are helping us equally without unbiasedness, I would go 30 times to all these different people trying to get my case documented. Other veterans enlisted would go, and they were not able to get their stuff, their cases documented. I would then be told to go to a guy by the name of John Kelly. I would go to him. He was a VA employee as well as a vet rep, and he screamed, a Vietnam-era vet, he screamed across the hallway and said, "I don't care if you were raped, we're not going to help you get your benefits." I would cry, sobbing to him. Now, mind you, I had been with the VA now since 1993 and then more so in 1995. No one would help. Our therapy was substandard, even though rape crisis had started in 1972. It was substandard and abusive, and at the same time, my house was being broken into, items were being broken. They even had things that would pop items off the wall. This is movie magic stuff, technology that they were doing. Over the years, I would have animals drugged, poisoned. I would beg Mr. Kelly to help me, and again, Kelly is the significant name because that was one of my slavers in Germany that brutalized me, a military member. He would say he would help me, and then he sat on my records for well over a year. I did not know this at the time. I would tell another veteran to go see him because he promised he would help. And again, you can't track this because you're so absolutely shattered. I would come to my hometown. I didn't even know where I lived. I didn't even know the hometown that I grew up in, and yet it hadn't changed significantly. I'd played softball on the fields, and I didn't even know how to get around my own hometown. It was that severe. I would end up...
Let me ask you something. Besides the sex, what drugs were they... Were they drug me with the... With pills, cocaine? I mean, you have to have something going on, because I can imagine that, you know, the mind can only take so much. That were they drugging with pills, or this was done through hypnosis?
No, this there were drugs. I suspect there was scopolamine used. It's called a voodoo drug. It actually takes over the brain, and you look like you're totally awake, and you take absolute orders. This is actually a flower from Colombia. And
okay, ketamine, say that name again so we can get ketamine. Okay.
Scopolamine. You can look it up. It needs to be made absolutely illegal. In Europe, at the time, roofie, GHB, those type of drugs were not made illegal. So scopolamine was actually used by the CIA. It was also a drug that Dr. Mengele, who is the Nazi doctor of death, would take from Colombia, South America, to Germany. So these people had this down to a fine art and science. And this was very widespread across this base but other bases, because even when I was between bases at Grumman, there were three other service members from three different other services that were participating in keeping me traumatized. There was a Navy major, a lieutenant colonel from the Army, and a guy who told me he was a Marine. And they were all re-traumatizing me, threatening me as I was beginning to remember different things. And as I began remembering, because again, it is our natural born, the way we have been designed and created by God. If we truly have safety, and this is a quintessential issue that many of us have been denied, much like when you have the flu, your body will get rid of the toxins, and that includes having memories. The unfortunate thing is that when I began remembering things and I began having flashbacks and such, then instead of somebody helping me, there were virtually what I call organized criminal trauma networks. The best way to describe it is these were highly coordinated people, deliberately and intentionally, would re-traumatize me to include sending me to an OBGYN who would sodomize me on the table or rape other women on the table to suppress the abuse. We would have death threats to our faces. We would have, I was called, you know, stupid cunt in front of my entire staff, yet no one would stop it, and I couldn't prosecute because the JAG wasn't interested in prosecuting. The whole system was rotten from the top on down. And even when I left the military, please know, I took a lawsuit against the last inspector general and assistant who did this stuff to me, and instead of, because he was a barstooler, barstooler or the criminally elite of the Air Force, in the Navy they were the tail hookers. They have the equivalent in all the different services. I don't know what they call them in the Army, but they even had people within the upper ranks to squash any type of criminal investigation whatsoever.
Yeah, that's like that movie they have on TV about the lady in D.C. who squashes all problems that goes on in Washington. Let me ask a question. Right. Now, we're at the top of the hour. Is it okay to take a couple questions because they are lighting up, or would you want maybe two or three?
Well, let me share with you how bad it got, and then we will take some questions. They destroyed my marriage. They destroyed my marriage. I would have a handler for a while, and that would go by the wayside. I would meet an extremely amazing man, and in 1999, he would die unexpectedly at the age of 49, and I was told to keep my mouth shut about the rapes or I would be next. I was told he died from untraceable poisons. He was a research scientist at Wright-Patterson, and from there I was told they tried to set me up for his death. And my life has been hell. And the question is, why do we need to do this stuff? I've been denied the right to recover my memories. I never once brutalized anybody else. And yet even the technology that are being used, please look up Jose Delgado, ladies and gentlemen. Look this person up. This person is a whack job. He was, in 1974, he said he wanted to put chips, a remote control neurological chips into the brains of all military from the lowest rank to the highest rank.
Yes,
because the elite wanted to control us because we didn't have a right as military to develop our own minds. And this work was done in the 1960s of controlling animals by remote control.
I've seen it. It were rats. You're absolutely correct. Also, everybody, I want you to understand, they have no sympathy for children because this is almost, she said rituals, and we'll get into that a little bit on the next half hour about these rituals that they do. The word infantry is a very slick word for infant, and it really has to be looked at why they send the infants into war first. And it's almost like a strategy of a ritual of of a principle that they had in the ancient times, and it was mostly in Rome or Moloch and so forth. And seeing
I reported the abuse to the director of Wright-Patterson, or excuse me, of Dayton VA in 1998. Again, the abuse went up increasingly between my peer. In fact, they were almost killed in a carbon monoxide poisoning in 1998. And within the following 6 months, my partner was found dead. And there was no place to go. I mean, even out in Arizona, I reported the abuse out there. 2007, to the chief of staff, VA Hospital Phoenix, as to the brutalization that I was witnessing being done to other veterans as well as to myself. Nobody cared. And yet they have, over 40 people who have died?
Well, is there a coalition now? Because I'm starting to notice through the information you're giving me, please call the hidden video. Y'all go online, Google, go to the hidden enemy, and it is it's a serious website. Veterans are definitely being impacted by all this. Let me just ask you, Doug, when you say ritual, and what do you think the bottom line for all this is being done? I mean, what do you think they intend to get out of all this? Besides weakening the army or our military, you see anything on the horizon that this may be leading to some type of, destroying our military to do something else within the, because it seems like they're not helping the situation, especially when I read in the statistics you gave me. I mean, when you got 85% of the military suicide have not been combat, I mean, what do you think is happening with that?
Well, first off, what used to take years to shatter a human being now takes less than 72 hours given the technology, the drugs, and the abuse. When you do that, when you're looking at our military, there's a reason why we have the Geneva Convention. Even when you look at the old kamikazes, if you go back to the movie Tora, 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 which is a pretty accurate depiction, not all Japanese drove their planes into the ships. If they ran out of gas, if their plane was hit, they would turn the plane and themselves into a lethal instrument because that's what their culture required of them. However, if they could get back to their ship, they would get back to their ships. The sad thing is we have virtually seen a coming apart of our Geneva Convention and the protections of people, and the question you even have to ask are, who are these victims? From what I'm seeing, these are people who are good and decent people that are being so shattered that they can't, A, recover their lives because they're denied the right for safety. As I've seen in jobs, when I had jobs, now please know, I have 2 advanced degrees, I was grabbed around the throat. In another job, I was grabbed in the crotch. I was screamed at repeatedly, which re-triggered my PTSD, and when I reported in each one of these situations to my chain of command, I was fired. You cannot have that kind of behavior unless it is all-out retaliation. And this is, again, this is allowed to happen throughout our states to veterans, which is a reason why so many are homeless, why so many are committing suicide, because these organized criminal trauma networks are operating to keep those who are good and decent people who would stand up against corruption of the mortgage frauds and all these other things, and they're not participating in this. The way you get evil to flourish is you destroy those who are good and decent people who have morals. But they're also doing this, the kind of abuse I'm talking about, to individuals, because if they had big dreams of maybe going into politics or something else, they would have them pre-compromised so that if they went into the, government, if they went into politics, as I once wanted to do, they would have stuff on me and say, hey, look. And if I had And I was actually offered the opportunity to go into politics when I came out of the military. I was too shattered. And in talking to a former detective associate of mine, he says, you're lucky you didn't, because they would have manipulated you throughout your political career, in which, and we do have these people in Washington, because I've seen them. When you see them, you know what they look like. They look like the shooter from the Aurora Theater shooting, the real big eyes. That is systematic and symptomatic of the officers and enlisted that I saw on my bases that had been severely traumatized. Part of this is that these individuals are not only being brutalized that way, but they may be doing something that they have no knowledge of that gives plausible deniability to the criminals that are doing it. Because if you are being totally shattered, not only when you go to the VA, they are not even helping you, and I saw a room full of extraordinarily decent, good human beings that were not being helped. When they tried to begin recovering, they're being kept shattered. Why are we doing this? What is it for those up top who are doing this? And again, there were women and men participating in this.
That
had no problems doing this.
Let me just take one, because there's a lot of people. I'm not going to take many calls. I want you to keep going on. But let me get one of them in here. And see here. I got A557. You want to get on this?
Yeah, I'm with you, Brother Dorian. I'm just I'm taking everything in that Dorothy has just so graciously informed us about. And you know, it's extraordinary that it's a disservice to our service members, and certainly Dorothy, I salute you and thank you for your service, and no one should have to had endure the traumatic experience and the disgusting experiences that you've endured. And but I thank you for sharing your story and your experiences with us. And
no doubt.
Wow, you're a very, very strong woman to have persevered through all these.
Yes, I agree.
Well, I will also tell you that when I've contacted former military enlisted that were on my base, one gentleman actually rescued me while TDY, and I verbatimly talked to him and told him all the different things he did that kept me from being raped again while I had been drugged by the first sergeant, and I was the commander in Spain at Zaragoza. The gentleman who rescued me from being raped again gasped audibly when I finished, and then he said, I don't recall. When you have in any military member that are so frightened and will not write a letter of substantiation to help support and protect and get benefits that are warranted, then the question is, what has happened to our military? And yet this is what's been going on over the years, especially in these typical types of situations. They knew exactly what they were doing. They called me the bitch of the base. And that is not a great title. In fact, Chief Master Sergeant, before I left Germany in 1989, he says, you're the poster child of the Air Force. You're known as the bitch of the base. But the enlisted will fight to work for you when you go TDY as commander because you're a fair officer. And yet, I will tell you, sometimes I become absolutely disheartened, wondering, what was it that I served? Who was it that I supported? And what kind of leadership would dare to do this? Because when I took these people to court, in the civil court, I did not want the American people to pay for their crimes. I wanted them to pay for their crimes. And yet the federal government, the Justice Department, stepped in using taxpayer money and represented them. And we went to the Supreme Court. where not only they said, for reasons of national security, they could not bring my case, but the Supreme Court refused to hear this case. Now, why is this important to you? Because in 1985, that 57 questions were brought through the U.S. Senate, the House Subcommittee Judiciary concerning juveniles, juveniles in America being raped. That 57 questions would be taught across America to police and attorneys who would go on to become future judges to use it against children in America to throw out their testimony. The False Memory Syndrome Foundation, which also in the 1970s would stand up and be on many national TV stations, large programs, talking about that people who have been severely criminally abused were lying about what they'd gone through. Were lying about it. In the 90s, the False Memory Syndrome Foundation would organize itself and had plenty of money, but they would actually go across this country and under the auspices of being good monitors of psychology as well as criminology, they were teaching this crap to people when in fact what was happening is the shattering of human beings. And then through the organized criminal trauma networks, these children are unable to remember, so they cannot report. Now, in my own case, I've tracked this back far enough. I'm remembering a sheriff, police, superintendent of my school. In fact, the superintendent of my high school admitted, he was a former colonel, who admitted that the stuff going on in the military got way out of hand. The new superintendent of the high school, I was senior class president of my high school. I wanted to speak to the kids about the dangers that are facing them. And yet, the new superintendent, I gave him a whole bunch of the documentation that the host currently has in his possession. And the new superintendent, who was former military, said, and I quote, "You took it too personally. What happened to me?" I went in as a very healthy 122-pound, 5'3" young woman, married, into the military. I would leave the military from Germany the first, when I came out of Germany, I was 93 pounds. Now, for those of you who can't visualize that, you could see my jawbone, you could see ribs. When I would finally leave the military, I was 95 pounds, to the point where my mother was seriously concerned about me. I had developed eating disorders. And yet the VA has consistently, ongoingly brutalized me. And yet I'm standing up for your sons and daughters. And what I'm saying is, if this type of behavior is so okay for the commoner, for the lower economic strata, then why aren't the CEOs of companies' children being put through this? Why aren't the CEOs themselves be put through this?
That's right. Now, Dorothy, that's a good question. Yeah, now, that's a good question because they're not. We have a class system seems to be going on with this military, and it seems to be, and you said something earlier, and I remember you saying, it seemed like it first started as a little hazing. You know, they might, are they performing rituals? When you say rituals, what type of rituals are we talking, like Masonic induced or, you know, satanic type thing? I mean, have you witnessed these type of a cult? How much of the cult is involved with this?
Well, you know, that's an interesting term because, you know, it's almost near impossible to even, when you have people's names and you have exactly what they said to you and you provide this to anybody, because you can bet right now that I'm being listened to. We're being listened to and monitored. So the reality is, no matter what I've said, whose names I've said and what they've actually said in those circumstances, that they're discounting that. So when it comes down to these type of rituals, I will tell you that I was ordered In November of 84, I was ordered to do a food audit at the Officers Club Spangdahlem, Germany. At precisely 9 o'clock, we finished, and I was yawning, and so I was supposed to be driving back to the person's house I had to stay at, waiting for my own apartment to come open. And someone brought me a Coke, no ice, and I drank it, thinking, okay, I'm going to go home. I was on my way out the front door in my parka, my blue uniform, and a person grabbed me by my arm, and I began to not be able to walk straight. I couldn't concentrate. I couldn't think. As far as nothing made sense going on around me, and I was put into a flight line truck where I was taken to a part of the base that I'd never been to before and was taken into a half moon. I actually have drawings of this. I was asked some of the armament weapons that were sitting there, which I had no security clearance to be able to know anything about it. I didn't have that high of a level. I also was told something very specific to that, which later on I would have nightmares. This is 1984, 1987. I would actually have three nights of the same nightmare, and I would wake up both myself and my husband screaming the word that was given to me. I would later, after being taken to this place, being drugged, I would be taken down a narrow pathway where I was strapped to a table, and there were a bunch of people standing around in a circle. They were in robes, and they began to brutalize me. And this happened numerous times. I will honestly tell you, I'm still getting back a lot of memories. I'm having to be very careful with what I share.
I don't blame you.
But
that's right. I don't blame you. And that's really a good enough right there.
But what they did is they actually broke me down. Remember, as an adult, you have already learned all the objects typically in your world, a table, a chair, whatever. When they regress you, when they break you down through fear, terror, and drugs, your mind is a sponge. You're an adult sponge. And what they began doing is they began doing the neuro-linguistic programming at that point, where later on, when they would say something to me, there was an automatic response. It was without thought or hesitation on my part, but it began to, if you will, think of yourself almost going into a spiral down, in which you began taking these commands that you had no knowledge that you had, A, had programmed into you, B, that you were interested in ever participating in, and C, what would transpire could only be either equivalent to your worst nightmare, to be passed around by hundreds of men, women who were involved in this stuff. And I'm saying, I remember the names and what they said to them. And a bunch of these guys went on to become generals. In fact, I gave VIP briefings to new one-star generals who came overseas, and they were part of this little garbage. They were part of this. They thought they had a right to have a harem. I've actually had calls from some of these reprobates, former officers, threatening me. I've had one show up in my father's house threatening me to my face, and he was a drugger rapist from Squadron Officer School, where I was in Montgomery, Alabama. I mean, and these people are people that I dared to want to stand up for. I mean, I think that's probably the most despicable part, what's going on in this country, is that I would never have considered doing any such thing to them, and yet they had no problem whatsoever doing this to me. And over my life, as they have flourished have they have gotten amazing jobs. The other thing that this does to a person, it destroys their joy. It destroys their creativity. I'm literally, for the last 4 years, because they kept shattering me over and over and over again, even though the first thing I kept saying is no. Overseas, 1988, I actually started a rape crisis center. I started a class. I actually wrote an article for all military person on my base, sent it to the wing commander, the base commander, public affairs for the newspaper, and in that, and let me give you just a brief overview of what it was, I said, we understand what no means. If I asked you, did you want to eat peas and you hated peas, you wouldn't eat those. If I asked you to jump off a bridge, and it was a very high bridge that you knew that you would die and yet you didn't have a parachute, if I told you to jump and you said no, am I supposed to respect your no? I would go on in this article to explain the importance of evidence, what a victim needs to do if they are assaulted, as well as what this does to a human being, what this crime does to a human being. At the very bottom of this article, I would put, if I put a gun against your head and you were telling me that my no means yes, and I said, would you like me to pull the trigger? And you say no, does your no mean yes? That article was never published. I called that for 2.5 years. It was never published to warn the men and women on that base. And this was going on and has been going on because in 2004, the JAG, the head JAG of the United States Air Force, General Fiscus Ficus, he was busted being involved with 13 women. I can probably assure you that more likely than not, a lot of those victims had been brutalized like myself. And yet, not only did he lose his... Now, the head JAG of the Air Force is the guy who sets the policy for who and how we're going to move forward in stopping these abuses. He was directly involved in this, as well as the fact that he didn't even lose his legal license. He's a practicing lawyer someplace. Why is it that law means nothing? And those of us who have defended and protected the laws, our lives are
well, let me ask you this before we take a couple more questions. Is this country, or which most of us say is a corporation, is it really about business? Because it seems that we are following an agenda set by a hierarchy, and they're using our men and women as, I would say, fronts to create these wars for the interests of the military-industrial complex, which was mentioned by Dwight D. Eisenhower. It seems like that has entrenched this country because our budget strictly military. So what do you think with this present military, when they have to sign this? I heard they have to sign a paper saying that they will not shoot on, or would they shoot on, the American public. And if those who say they will, they seem to get more medicine, or those who say they will shoot on the American public seem to get a ride through, and then those who say they won't shoot on the American public seem to be getting medicine and so forth to say they are, you know, post-syndrome and they're delusional. Is that because you think they have a plan with the Army here abreast because they need maybe to – some people say they're going to ship them out and we'll be under U.N. control. I mean – seems to be an agenda to weaken the military here on this soil, especially if they're being told, will you shoot on the American people? I know that's a survey. Are you aware of that survey?
I'm aware of different parts and pieces of it. I can't honestly speak as to what they want to do. I will tell you that from what I've looked at, two points here. First, there's a guy out there called Grossman. Look it up. You could probably go on a YouTube video and look up On Killing. This is the psychology of getting people to kill. And I sadly believe that, and I, you know, I do believe we do need a military. We need a military not only for our own protection, but the level of militarization that is happening is frightening, to the point where when people are in trauma, depending on what has happened to them. Now, again, the thing you have to look at, and people are propagandized to believe that people who have been criminally violated, that is a significant part of this. Criminal violation is not a person who's mentally ill. They're emotionally traumatized. They're emotionally damaged. It doesn't mean mental illness. They're two different categories. I could also say the same for those who've been physically brutalized or those who've been psychologically brutalized. With real and true safety, they can recover. What I'm seeing instead is people that are being deliberately and intentionally brutalized to shatter them to then become the foot soldiers that have no emotional feelings, that have no connections or empathy or concern for somebody else's brutalization. Mm-hmm. When you can have people that those who are up high who know exactly the process that are going on, there is a war on truth in America. Why? Why is there a war on truth? Truth tellers, Sojourner Truth, you know, historical people, Rosa Parks, she was a truth teller. She was laid to rest in state in our nation's capital. If she was here today, she would now be arrested as a whistleblower. How is it that this is possible when the majority of us who have dared to stand up against equipment that was being intentionally and deliberately, intentionally.
Yes. There's an attack on whistleblowers, everybody. President Obama has pretty much arrested many whistleblowers. They have been treated badly, Snowden, and most of the most
popular. Well, please know this
has
gone on much longer than President Obama.
Yes.
This goes back to J. Edgar Hoover's time, to LBJ's time, much farther back than even that. And yet it really comes down to then what rules are you really operating? If you're being raised to tell the police, and in some communities they clearly do not trust the police, and I can more than understand that. I would learn that lesson in college, and yet I never gave up hope that we had ethical and honorable people in those systems. What I would learn is they didn't exist. I do know that there are good and decent people within these systems, but when I can actually have a threat to my face by a criminal who brutalized me years before, gave me a death threat in his jargon, and these people have their own jargon, much like the mafia does or any other, you know, secret society, and I call the local police. They sent down, of all people, a former infantry person who dismissed me, wrote up a report that might as well have been written by a kindergarten. Virtually no facts were correct. I would get a copy of that report, call the supervisor, and instead of saying, yes, we will change it to reflect accurately, he says, you need to watch what you say. I'm being threatened.
Yeah, they get
I'm brutalized.
Yeah, they switched it up on you.
And I cannot get help anywhere.
Can't get it. Let me just get on first, and I'm going to bring you in here, everybody. I need you to just make a comment briefly or ask a question because she, you know, we're trying to get some people on before we get off the air. 5217. Comment or question, please.
Well, the comment is a damn shame. Our military it's like that. I mean, it's a damn shame. That's all I got to say.
All right, bro. Appreciate that. Let me go to over here. Comment or question? I got you on the air. 2073. You on the air? Comment or question? But take you off. Okay. And let me go to one more. Let me get a 5959. You on the air? Comment or question, please. 5959. We hear you calling, but you know, yeah. Comment or question, please. Okay. You're not picking up. We don't play here too much. Let me get. I know you've been waiting. 8848. Last time. 8848. Maybe.
Yes. Hi.
8848. Comment question.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Thank you, Dorothy. I just want to thank you so, from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much for this information. As you were speaking, I had tears in my eyes. And no matter what has happened to you, which is so terrible, but the Creator really has a big calling on your life, and it's not over. Another thing I wanted to ask you was, is it true in reference to the military base in Guantanamo Bay when all the Middle Eastern were captured, is it true about, you know, these sorts of ritualistic abuse that were going on with them?
You know, honestly, I've never been to Guantanamo Bay, so I can't speak to what was going on, but I will tell you from what I went through in the 80s, and again, this is a very slow process that I've reversed engineered my life. And while I was going through it, what I would discover is, and what they were doing, and again, this was very systematic beginning in 1981 that was happening to me and really took off in 1983 when I was at Spangdahlem. They did what they call ego up, pride, wait a minute, ego down, pride down. These terms, these techniques, was public humiliation, sexual degradation in the most horrific, inhumane ways, and it was ongoing. Another thing they would do is it's called scenery up, scenery down. They isolated myself from other men and women in my same rank group. They did not let victims of the group that were being put through this systematic breakdown, they would not let us be around each other for enough time because, and for a long time, you weren't around each other at all. Because if you began to compare notes and figure out what was going on, you had a potential of breaking through this. Another thing that was happening, in these terms that I gave you, these actually would become known as the enhanced interrogation techniques after Bush and Cheney. That's what they were doing to us in the 80s. Among many of them, my peers, they actually would even do arranged marriages to those who were your abusers because the guy they intended to have me marry kind of told me that he and I were supposed to be together, but because I'd been married before I got there. Now, the intention of this is that they would, those who had traumatized you and victimized you, and you typically did not know it because they would have one, much like the Stockholm Syndrome. This was the person that would pretend to be nice and, you know, keep you calm. He wasn't really in the forefront of the abuse. He was behind the scenes, typically after the drugging and after a lot of the breakdown was going on. And so while under a lot of this drug, that selected person would come in and be the calming effect. He was the handler and comforter. You wouldn't fully realize what it was because a lot of the drugs they would use had an amnesiac quality to it, or they would traumatize you again, much like in a kind of an ongoing flash mob kind of thing. When the abuser, if you either got into a marriage with this person and you had children, often what has been going on is the abuser would keep you shattered and keep you traumatized so you couldn't remember what was happening. But then if you had children with this person and you tried to escape this, what's now happening across this country is when the courts got involved, the children were being given to the abuser or to the abuser's family and not to the parent who was the protector. And it wasn't because a shattered parent is a bad parent. It's because they're not being given safety. And again, my concern is that why is this happening? And what's good for the gander is good for the goose, not meaning that guys deserve this, because men are equally being raped in the military. It is not, it's an equal opportunity crime that is being committed against women, children, spouses, foreign workers, as well as spouses. And in the 90s, when I would start my organization, STAMP, Survivors Take Action Against Abuse by Military Personnel, I talked about all of these people that were being systematically brutalized, which is the reason they had to stop my organization, because when you look at the total gamut of who is being abused, then you really saw the numbers. The numbers that they're currently putting out are not the real numbers. For instance, in our Congress, they separated the spouses and children's abuse into a total different hearing committee. Then military women's abuse were separate. The guys really didn't even have an area that they were talking about. They weren't talking about the foreigners being abused or even federal employees that were being abused. These systems are extremely dangerous, and all you have to do is turn and look to the case of Laverna Johnson, Private Laverna Johnson, United States Army. They said that, and her father is Dr. John Johnson of St. Louis. He was a military member himself. At one point, his daughter went in to get college money, wanted to earn her money rather than depend on her parents, went in, and as a private, she was found dead, and the military said she committed suicide. When her father sent me pictures of, and he got these pictures through somebody who had a moral conscience, I would call him and said, your daughter was murdered. This is not a suicide, because of some of my own college classes that I'd taken. He had her re-autopsied to find she had a broken nose, a broken neck. She had defense wounds on her hand that are indicative of fighting someone, and yet they had glued white gloves onto her hands so the parents didn't see it. She had a shot bullet hole to the back of the head. Her crotch had been, her pants had been set on fire, as well as the tent, and they said it was a suicide. Now, this is not just a single incident in case, and it is extremely horrific, but there are numerous cases across our military about this.
Go ahead.
That we are a defensive and offensive force that needs to be able to participate in the taking of life. But I once believed that we were supposed to have constraints as well as a thinking brain to know the difference between right and wrong. And when you are turning on your own members, we've got a big problem.
Correct. Now let me ask you this, Dorothy, because time is on. We're getting close to the hour. You sent me something today, and it's quite amazing. Many people who do not know this, I would like all of you to look up this group. It's called Order Supremus Militarius Templi Heria Solemnity. Now, I'm going to spell that last word for y'all so I get this. It's HIEROSOLYMITANI. This is like a supreme military. You sent this, and I'd like to know, because it says everybody is, it's all military and these different branches of people. I know why you sent it. Explain to me where this fits in, because it looks like the Red Cross, it's in a full circle, everybody. It just had their annual report, and I'll be honest with you, if you see this, if you want to see it, you email me and I will send it to you. You must realize these are some, it's called a royal patron. These are different names given to these people. The Grand Prix of Mexico. Explain why you sent me that and where that fit in.
Well, there are numerous secret societies within our military. I've actually talked to a former military member who told me he walked into a group while overseas that was a KKK group. There are different people that are operating that have different agendas. The problem is that not all of us are in on the inner secret, which is why there's so much abuse that's happening. And while I do know that there are, at the lower ends of the ranks, Freemasons, this group is associated to that. There is an organization that's associated to NATO that are Freemasons, high Freemasons. And these are an international group of people. Now, again, there are good and decent people at every level of every organization, but there are also aspects within these systems that have sometimes significant questionable issues. And I've simply been trying to figure out what happened to me. I had no knowledge of my own family history. I've learned that my grandfather on my mother's side, was a Grand Duke in the Freemasons. I by no means want to assume that all people of those ranks are in fact involved in criminal activity, but I do know from some of the things I was witnessing that what I was seeing was not normal. Here's the water test. If it was normal and okay, then why didn't they do it in the light of day? Why did I have to be drugged, and why did I have to be brutalized? If it is so okay, then why isn't being done out around the U.S. flagpole, where a great many of my peers and I went to great extent, and we even got the Lest We Forgot Get POW and MIA flag, and we put together a huge ceremony and parade. The Junior Officers Council bothered to do this, and yet many of my peers were brutalized beyond recognition. And one of these was a single male. He was thrown out of the military as if he was gay, and yet he was brutalized. That's the problem.
Well, that was the time frame. That, when I remember that, when during the Clinton era, it was don't tell or don't ask.
Don't ask, don't tell. Right.
Right. So that was definitely something going on with that, but that's when that abuse was starting to come out. They just shoved it underneath the door.
Right, but the unfortunate thing is that a lot of people are assuming that some of these people in the military were actually, by their own accord, gay. This gentleman was not gay. What was going on was not him being gay. He was being systematically brutalized. And when he asked me to even write him a letter of clemency, because he was a very good commander, I was threatened by the JAG to not write it, and that was through a fellow officer, that if I write a letter of clemency for him, that I will lose my career. Now, granted, this JAG was very sadistic, and he was involved in these little secret clubs. So I'd been warned by numerous people as he was coming onto the base. He actually had a miniature guillotine that he had underneath glass in his office. And he took great delight in finding, destroying, or causing people to have problems with the intention of destroying your career and thereby your future.
Well, this seems to be, and we've seen it before, a narcissistic. We did a show on this a while back on these narcissists who are just totally hell-bent on destroying everybody but themselves. For the sake of time, with this new thing with this, and I mean, you talked about this today, the PTSD, the killings that are on these bases that have been going on, we are finding out is being contributed to the amount of drugs and prescriptions that the military and the VA are giving them. Would you like to say, or I could possibly analyze it, it seems like the VA is in cahoots with the pharmaceutical companies. What's your take on that?
Well, according to the documentation, the documentary in CCHR, The Hidden Enemy, the people who put this together, the documentary, are psychiatrists, are doctors. Their research doesn't presuppose, it actually indicates that there is a much too close relationship between psychologists and psychiatrists who are supposed to be overseeing helping people get better. And again, Dr. Colin Ross has two books that I believe that all military should get their hands on. One is called The Great Psychiatry Scam, The Great Psychiatry Scam. And the second book is called The CIA Doctors. The CIA Doctors. The other I would also recommend is every veteran or parent needs to get your hands on the nursing drug pharmaceutical book. Every year it comes out, and you need to begin using that as your baseline. Because one of the things I have found is that in this book, it says if you are sensitive to drugs, unless you took drugs, a lot of drugs when you were a kid, you're typically sensitive to drugs. So as the documentary, The Hidden Enemy, was discussing, that there is side effects that are not even being discussed with the patients, military and veterans in this movie, that are causing the effects that are occurring. Now, in my own base in Germany, there were people that were dying. There were people that had, one gentleman was from the base clinic. He was seeing what was going on, and it wasn't long after that that he mysteriously died, and all of us were told, because he was going to be reporting the abuse, and we were told he burnt to death, he burnt alive. There's a lot of questionable things that I've seen over the years, and there is no place to turn to see about getting justice or help.
Hold on, because I don't want to end the show. Those of you who want to stay on a few more minutes, I'm going to take one last call before the show end. Question or comment, let me get 1-877. 1-877.
Hi, I have a question and a comment. I did watch the video, and listening to your story, it seems like to me the objective, we had a show not too long ago on physical scientific management, and just wanted to know, like, if you felt, Dorothy, that I know a couple times you mentioned the reasons behind that. To me, it seems like it would be the drugs they would like to utilize, and the drugs on the military, because it's easy, it's an easy target, and they can actually monitor you quite well, and then they have total control over you. And, I didn't know anything about the sexual part of it until you came on, which wow, you know, my heart goes out to you. You've endured a lot. You've seen a lot. You know, it's amazing that after all these years, you're still talking about this, because you say back in 98 it's when your memory kicked in. So to me it seems like, you know, once your memory kicked in and everything, did you look at the fact that according to the video, they did it for the money, for the drugs, to evaluate you scientifically, and I think the sexual abuse must came into fantasy for the perverts that was actually doing that to you. And my next comment is sometimes I think as far as you saying that you know, you're still obviously hurting, have you thought about putting a book together? Because if you took it to the Supreme Court and your civil case was not heard there, and you said that your school systems are not the high school that you actually went to, you're trying to get your story out there to help folks understand. Have you thought about maybe putting a book together?
Yeah, that's a good question. Let me go ahead, Dorothy, answer that question if you want. Because she asked a few of them. Thank you, sister, for that comment. Go ahead, Dorothy.
Well, part of it, please know, and thank you for your kind words. The resolutions that I'm going to be sending Dry Bones are very imperative for all of you to get your hands on and take to your local communities, to your city councils. The importance of the resolution is to go after the networks that are doing this to children, women, young men, to put them into the systems. At current, there is nobody going after anybody except the purchasing agents, as in the Johns or the victims. They're not going after the people behind the scenes. So this is only, and we're talking, these systems make millions, billions of dollars across the country and around the world. And it's time to say enough of this. They do not deserve to be in positions of influence or in any type of influential position at all. And the resolution is moving towards taking their money, building safer communities, giving the victims money to survive on rather than being put in the homelessness. There is no child or woman or young boy on the streets today or at any major sporting event who wants to be there. I don't care what anybody says, even these strip clubs. You sit a person down who has been through it, and they are shattered human beings. When people say that this is the oldest profession, no, it is not. The oldest profession is a farmer, Adam and Eve. The oldest profession, women and those who were put into these systems did not have rights. If you're in a profession, you choose a profession. This is slavery. We have been lied to. Now, as far as a book, the difficulty I'd run into is, and I've had a lot of people suggest it, part of it is where could I get it out to and where I could get it published. I've had more than enough share of my life being threatened, death threats to my face only within the last couple weeks. My father's life has been threatened, and I've been even told, you know, how are you going to keep that house once he's dead? These people don't stop, and they're crazy people, and they're throughout all of our communities. So part of this is, how is it that when we do not even have a working system at any level, where do you turn? We have to begin the basics. These people can bury books in a heartbeat. And one of the things we really need to talk about is even the technology that's being used. The technology, just as an example, go out on YouTube, put in Audio Spotlight, put in Operation Bluebeam. These are technologies that from externally driven means can have a person hear words, somebody else's voices between their ears. Externally driven technology. Somebody across the street, they can be handheld items, and they believe they're hearing somebody talk to them. It's actually demonstrated. John Pompei, MIT University, demonstrates it in a YouTube video. And yet, when you go to the VA, they're using these technologies on people, messing with them. Look at Jose Delgado, D-E-L-G-A-D-O. And yet nobody ever told us about this stuff. Look at 3 October 1995, President Clinton's speech. 3 October 1995, President Clinton's speech, human radiation experiments. In that speech, he says that inhumane experiments were done at hospitals, universities, and in the military. Not once did he ask for those individuals to be notified, but instead he asked the federal government to give him understanding of what he should do. Why isn't our federal government notifying people that they have been experimenting on, and the years of these experiments, 1944 to 1974?
Hmm. Well, I'm
the question
tell you,
we must ask is, who are we paying to help to shatter us?
That's right. Who are we paying? That's the question for everybody. I want to, you know, keep this going. I don't want to have you just one time. We can get you back again at another date because there's so much information. I want you to send me some of the things that you more because I have a lot now. Again, we appreciate you taking this time out because it was not easy. Being that it was considered Memorial Day yesterday, I hope every veteran has listened. I hope every veteran realized that you are dealing with something that is very above your head unless you go get help to understand it. The VA hospital has been called everybody. It is under scrutiny. They have been not giving treatment to any of these veterans. You see them in the streets all the time, like just said. The sex is all through this. I have tons of information about that. I mean, I had no idea with this many cases. And it goes,
well, if
it goes
I may,
on.
There's actually a technique, and the technique I've been using has been absolutely instrumental in giving me back my – and this doesn't have to be just for veterans. If you have short-term memory issues or long-term memory issues, these things will help. I've been able to remember when I was a kid, when I was 2 years old, when I would play a tinker piano that my grandfather gave me, and just as example, because when I actually told a psychologist, when I left the VA because of the abuse, I went to a civilian system using my Medicare card, and instead the psychologists who were at this civilian place began to also become abusive. And the doctor told me, PhD, psychologist, told me there's no way that I could remember when I was two because she couldn't. And I said, I do. I remember sitting in my crib playing a tinker piano. So if you would, please know, here you go. Does that sound delusional to anybody? That is the tinker piano. I came home, went up into the upper areas of the house, and my mother had saved it. And yet I'm being told I'm delusional. The things that are going on are absolutely heinous. And there is a way to get back memories. So we can do several things. If you're a Vietnam veteran out there, please know I've got documentation that I found that talks about experimentation that was done. I don't know if it can benefit you, but I will send it to Dry Bones for compensation, those in those different time periods. The other is, how is it that we help stabilize? Please know if you're distressed by anything that has been spoken here tonight, I do not advocate for any type of violence towards yourself or towards any others. This is not to cause anybody to go off. If you are having difficulty, I would invite you to be kind and gentle to yourself. Take a walk as long as it's safe. You know, if you have a pet and you can play or, you know, even take a hot salt bath. Many people don't know that if you get a hot salt bath with sea salt, 3 to 5 pounds, or pickling salts, that actually will help detoxify your body. 3 to 5 pounds. If you have a really bad day, don't use Epsom salts. because that is no longer the right stuff that you need to pull out toxins. It'll soften your skin, and it will also detoxify part of your body. And that will very much help. But please, if by any chance you were on any of the drugs that you have been prescribed on, this is also a warning. You cannot get off of them cold turkey. In fact, they could kill you. They could have a serious adverse reaction. And we need you to be safe out there no matter who you are and what you've been through. It is time to help each other. For those who may have been forced through threats, intimidation, or brutalization of your family or loved ones, if you want to join a movement that really cares about human beings and each other, then step away from those systems. I am not willing to participate. These people have even tried to provoke me to harm people, and I will not do it. I won't participate in that. They've done enough damage to my life, and it really is about finding good and decent leaders that are not willing to take payolas from any institution, that are really willing to bring the best and the brightest solutions without being hateful, mean, and ugly.
Now, I agree. And, Dorothy, I'm going to end on that because I want us to keep that thought. I appreciate you. And all you who are listening tonight, tomorrow's show, we're going to have another one that's going to be thought-provoking. We'll have Joseph L. will be with us to talk about some of these issues that are dealing with law, private and the public and private. And is these things effective when you're dealing with such an uncivilized system that has no regards for its military? And remember this, everybody. Rome fell from within, the Roman Empire. From within, their armies was done in through their armies. So be aware that we don't repeat these things that are at our door. I appreciate all of you who have been with us tonight. I thank you, and I hope you got something out this show, because this should tell you, after every basketball game, after every football game, after every baseball or sporting event, an Army commercial, Air Force commercial, always come on. Before it comes on, you tell your kids to go join it. Do your research. You might be killing your kids. Peace out, everybody.